Good morning and welcome to our weekly service here in St Columba's Derrivolgi, the Belsize Road in Lisburn. You're very welcome. My name's James, I'm the minister here and we're leading you through the service today. We often begin our service with a portion of scripture. Today we continue our series in Daniel, and as we'll see a little bit later, we're going to be looking at the bigger picture, how good triumphs over evil, how the Lord triumphs over Satan, how sometimes we can get weighed down in despair, but yet we know the final outcome. And so this morning as we begin, we're going to read some verses from Psalm 37. This is a psalm that really encourages us, Psalm of David, that encourages us where our focus and our attention should be. Do not fret because evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. An encouragement, not to fret. That's easier said than done, we know that. But to trust in the Lord, to be still in his presence, to know that he is God. Let's pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you that you are present with us. And in this moment, you are thankful that we set aside time to draw into your presence. So collectively, as we have scattered across our homes, but gathered together, united with one purpose, we thank you that you are present with us. In this moment, we pray that you will speak into all aspects of our lives, and that as we are still before you, you might hear clearly from your voice today. And so as we gather in this time of illness and infection, of isolation, fear and uncertainty, we are mindful of the sick and those who are weighed down by pain, distress or loneliness and anxiety, those who care for them, conscious of the risks that they bear, and all who have the responsibility for public health and social order. We pray that the cry of the afflicted may be heard, that they may be comforted, so that all who suffer may come to know that they are joined to the sufferings of Christ, who gave his life for the salvation of the world. And by your blessing on them and those who care for them, may they be restored according to your will, to the soundness of body, mind and spirit, and offer a joyful thanks in your church. This we pray, this we seek, in Jesus' name. Amen. We come before the Lord who is perfect and holy in the knowledge that we are not, confessing before him. So Lord, for the times that we have willingly neglected you, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For the times that we've neglected you without realizing, Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. For the times we have forgotten to be your hands and your feet, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So may the Father forgive us and strengthen us to live in the power of the Spirit all of our days. Amen. I'm going to use some words from the Psalm appointed for today, Psalm 25. We'll say these by alternate first, as we have that wonderful opportunity to speak scripture over our homes, over our streets, and over our community. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let all my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are want only treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions according to your steadfast love. Remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Another wonderful encouragement from the scriptures to trust in God, to look for his ways and not our own ways, to trust in him that he might direct our paths, because he can see the big picture that we can't quite get our heads around. I want to hear from Sarah next.
Good morning, boys and girls. I hope you are all keeping safe and well and that you had some really yummy pancakes on Tuesday. Do you know what Pancake Tuesday reminds me of? It reminds me that Lent is coming. In fact, as you watch this video, this is the first Sunday of Lent. And we're going to be having a little look today at what Lent is. Can you remember when Jesus was baptized? Can you remember what happened as he came up out of the water? The Holy Spirit spoke to him. Can you remember what happened after that? You see, not many people can. But the Holy Spirit told him to go to this place called the wilderness. Now, a wilderness is a place that is quite dry. There's no towns, there's no people, there's no shops. And in that time, it would have been really hot and humid. It would have been like the hottest summer's holiday you have ever been on. But you see, Jesus went there to be tempted by the devil. And in the passage, we read that the devil tempted him 3 times. Firstly, the devil tells Jesus to turn this stone into bread to prove that he is actually Jesus. And Jesus says that man shall not live on bread alone, but they will live on the word of God. Secondly, the devil takes Jesus to the tallest place in the temple. It was really, really, really high. How high can you go? Probably higher than me, but that wouldn't be difficult. On your tippy toes. So the devil takes Jesus to the highest place in the temple, and he tells him that if he is really the Son of God, that if he jumps off this highest place, that God will save him. But Jesus replies, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And thirdly, the devil takes him to this tall mountain, and he tells Jesus that if he bows down to worship the devil, then Jesus can have all of this stuff that is laid out before him. All these cities will be his. But Jesus replies, "Do not worship any other God than the Lord your God." Today is the first Sunday of Lent. But what is Lent? Well, Lent is 40 days, not including Sundays, whenever we take time to think about everything that God has done for us. You've maybe heard of some people giving up things like chocolate, fizzy drinks, or TV for Lent, and they are taking away this temptation that stops them from talking to God and being close to him. So they are taking that away so that they can spend more time with God. So why did Jesus go into the wilderness to be tempted? Well, he went into the wilderness to spend time with God and to think about his future ministry. Lent is a time whenever we focus on Jesus' command and his call. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says this, "If you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross daily." Just as Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness to spend time with Jesus, I hope that this Lent, that it will be a time for all of us, boys and girls, mummies and daddies, grannies and grandads included, that we will spend time to grow closer to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to earth to live this life and to be an example for us all. Lord, we pray that this Lent time that you would equip us to take away any distractions, stuff that stops us from spending time with you. And we pray that you would help us to make time each day, daily, to spend it with you, to go closer in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven, churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. And then before me was the second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had 4 wings, like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them. And 3 of the 1st horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch, because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain, and its body destroyed, and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed."
So thank you to to Sarah and to Derek for those parts of our service today. We continue in our series, Faith Under Fire, this series on Daniel. If you have a Bible to hand, that would be brilliant, because we look at a chapter at a time, and so it's very hard to read the whole chapter. So we only read a portion of it, but we will move across the whole of the chapter. So if you have a Bible, you're able to flick to different verses. That would be absolutely fantastic to do that. So this this series so far, we have heard that whenever Daniel and his friends, whenever they stood firm, they looked up and they walked with God, things started to happen. We saw that God is the revealer of mysteries, that he gives to them and to the kings the things that no one on this earth can understand. We saw that King Neb ebbed and flowed as if with the tide and his relationship with God. And we saw the challenge of how maybe that plays out in our own lives. We were challenged in how we treat the things of God. And last week we looked at Daniel's faith and the faith of the king, and how that could impact our own faith. And so today, we think about this passage in Daniel chapter 7, like the Son of Man. Now, we come from this point on, in this series, we come to the lesser known parts of the book of Daniel. Many people will have heard about the fiery furnace and the Daniel and the lion's den. We come to the lesser known parts, and also probably the more daunting parts, the parts maybe that aren't used as much in churches for teaching series. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge to see what they say and to understand them, because we heard, as Derek read through that reading today, what's this about? Lots of bass, lots of horns and so forth. How do we interpret that into our lives today? Stay with me and we'll see if we can do that for you. See, there's a point here in chapter 7, where Daniel realizes that his work as a politician probably could be futile. The sense of he's always trying to do good, he's trying to be in that space where he can speak the things of the Lord into the culture of the day. He's beginning to realize that evil lurks behind the systems of power that controls us. That evil lurks behind power. And evil seems to be triumphing in the world. This is Daniel's day. Let me say those statements again. That evil lurks behind power. That evil seems to be triumphing in the world. This is our day. And so actually Daniel chapter 7 is very relevant for where we find ourselves today, as individuals and as a church, as a body of believers. Now, much of this dream of Daniel's is deemed to be in the prophetic genre of the scriptures. Symbolism, like the book of Revelation. And so much of what is being spoken of here and the interpretation of this dream is a symbolism of what is yet to come, what is about to happen. And whenever we deal with the prophetic literature, we need to be careful whenever we handle it. We need to examine the details, but hold them lightly. We need to scrutinize the meaning, but not to overplay it. We need to dig into the minute, yet stand back to see the bigger picture. And we take this guide from Daniel himself, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 19. Daniel says, "Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others." If you read 15 through to 19, you will notice that Daniel speaks of the first beast. And then in verse 19, he's skipping really quickly to the fourth beast. He holds lightly to the second and the third one. And so sometimes there are details that we need to hold lightly to so we can see the bigger picture of what is actually going on. But it's important at this point that we note that Daniel continued to be salt and light in his situation. He never ceased to give up. He knew there was something more for him to do. Remember last week, we heard that Daniel was probably around 80 whenever he was in the lion's den? Don't give up. The question that plagues Daniel in this chapter, and in turn us today, is this. Where did this evil come from? And where is it going? Where did this evil come from? And where is it going? So looking at the details, Daniel chapter 7. We see there's four beasts. Daniel chapter 7, verse 3. Well, start in verse 2, actually. Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea." Now, you'll note that often this chapter is linked back to the big, to some of the other chapters in Daniel, but this chapter is also pushed forward to the prophetic of Revelation. But in Revelation, we see that a time will come when there will be no more sea. Sea in prophetic literature in the scriptures is seen as a place of chaos. And so often whenever it's spoken of in the prophetic literature, it's about chaos. And so you could say, in my vision at night, Daniel says, "I looked and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up a great chaos. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the chaos. And the first was like a lion. It had four wings of an eagle," and he goes on to describe the four beasts in great detail. Now, each of these beasts were terrifying. Beast 1, 2, and 3 was terrifying. And if you read the descriptions of them, verses 5 through to verse 6, you will see that they create a terrifying image in your head, probably. A magnificent image in one sense. But in verse 7, we read this, "And after that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victim and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns." The last one is even more terrifying than the first three. But we have to hold this in tension. And even though they are terrifying, we have to see in verses 12 and 15 some truth. Verse 12, "The other beasts have been stripped of their authority and were allowed to live for a period of time." Now flip to verse 25. "He speaks against the Most High and oppresses the saints and tries to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times and a half. But the court will sit and its power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. And the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him." Whatever these beasts symbolize in Daniel's day and for our day, they have limited power. And we need to hold firmly to that truth. Never let that truth diminish in your mind, in your focus, in your peripheral vision, in your long-range vision, and your short vision. They have limited power. Even though they seem frightening and scary, they are limited in what they can do. This is not to say that Daniel does not consider the details of what is going on here. We can see that in verse 8. "While I was thinking about the horns, there was before me another horn, a little one, which came up out of amongst them. And the three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, a mouth that spoke boastfully." You can see here that he sees the detail in intricate detail. He's not missing it. But he always looks for the reason of the big picture. Verse 8 is obviously followed by 9 and 10. "And as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow, and his hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened." There's the big picture. The Ancient of Days. One day, All that is evil in this world will have to give account for itself before the Creator of the universe, the Sustainer of the universe, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He holds the big picture in his hands. And the question that plagues Daniel, do you remember what that was? Where did this evil come from and where is it going? Well, it has an answer. The evil comes from the devil. But whenever we get wrapped up in this sense of despair, of the detail, we have a tendency to forget what we already know. So whenever we get wrapped up in the detail, the despair of the detail, because if we look at the details of all of this and we wrap ourselves up in it, we can really go round and round in circles, if you like, and confuse ourselves with it and overpower ourselves with it. And in that moment, we lose what we already know. And what we already know is this. And we know it because it says it in the scriptures. The Bible says that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. In 1 John 4:4. The Bible says, what does it say? And Daniel, let's look to see what it says here. I think it's verse 13. In my vision at night, I saw, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming out of the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, and that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Did you hear that? The outcome of this cosmic battle rests not with human power, nor with the evil present in the world, but with the Lord of heaven and earth. We know the ending, and we must hold to it. Now, if you have your Bible, I'd love you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Make sure the preacher can find Hebrews chapter 12 as well. That would look really bad, wouldn't it? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The author of Hebrews says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endures the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." We are not to grow weary and lose heart because of the despair around us. We carry a different kind of hope. And even though the beasts seem to be ravishing the world around us, we know the outcome. Jesus is victorious. We must fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. Be still in his presence. Fret not in his presence. That's what we read at the beginning of this service. We know the outcome. Jesus is victorious. And there's lots of beauty about the fact that Jesus is victorious. But here's another little nugget. Go to your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll read from verse 15. Romans 8 and 15. "You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also share in his glory." When you give your life to Jesus, you're adopted into the family of God. Whenever you're adopted into the family of God, the Bible says that you're an heir and a co-heir with the riches and the victory of Christ himself. Now, that does not mean that there'll never be trouble at your door. It does not mean that life is going to be perfect or a bed of roses. Who wants to lie in a bed of roses? Remember, there's lots of thorns there. But it does mean that we know the outcome. We have a hope and a faith within us. In fact, we have the Spirit living in us that is greater than anything that the world can throw at us. And we know the final outcome. God is victorious. He triumphs over evil. And in that context, evil is a defeat at par that is on its way out. But we need to be conscious of it in the here and now. Evil is a defeat at par that is on its way out, but we still need to be conscious of it in the here and the now. We might know the final outcome, but we still have to live in the day today. That's why the hope and the faith that we have, the trust that we hold in Jesus, this prophetic writing, casting Daniel forward right the way to the end of the world. And one day the Ancient of Days will stand victorious, and every knee will bow, as it says, before him. So we need to live in the victory of the cross whilst fighting in the power of the Spirit. We need to live in the victory of the cross whilst fighting in the power of the Spirit, because we don't do this alone. Who is your fighter? Who is the one fighting in your corner? Who is the one standing beside you in the battle that you're going through? Who is the one that is praying for you? Who is the one that you are sharing with? Who is the one that is holding you up? The Bible says that Jesus is there for us. But it also encourages us, commands us, instructs us to do this together. So we must form strong alliances and allegiances with each other as believers. We do this battle together. We live in the victory of the cross. We fight in the power of the Spirit, but we do it together. And that should drive us to our knees in prayer. In fact, as we come to a close today, let's listen to the words of Jesus. You'll find them in John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 33. Jesus says, I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The big picture. The small detail around us is that evil and chaos might reign. The beasts that we see in Daniel 7 might be unleashed in the world around us. But the big picture is this, that the God that we worship has overcome the world. And that's what changes the narrative and writes the story of what is yet to come. It changes the narrative and it writes the story of what is yet to come. Maybe today, you and I, we need to turn another page in the books of our lives and see what God wants to write. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are indeed present with us. Above all else today, we want to thank you that you are victorious. That even in the midst of everything that's going on around us, you have won. Help us to wait patiently for the day when we will see that in all of its glory and in all of its triumph. So teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to ask for rest, to labour and not to ask for reward, save knowing that we do your will. and plant the truth that you're the way, the truth and the life deep into our hearts and our beings today. That those here in the battle and who may be suffering in this moment might know that you are creating a way for them. And so in this moment we pray for those who have asked for our prayers and who are in need of our prayers. Lord, help us not to get so bogged down in the minute of the detail that we begin to despair in a cyclical fashion. Not to hold so closely to the things of earth, but to love the things that are of your kingdom. That even in the midst of the chaos that is around us, to know the hope that we have, the hope that we carry. To know that you are immortal, invisible. That even though we can't see you in the flesh, even though the eye can't behold you, that you are with us. That you sustain us. That you hold us up and that you prepare the way for us. That even in all the manifold trials and troubles that might be around us in this life, whenever we strive to walk with you, that we can see, that we can know, that we live in the victory of the cross and we fight in the power of the Spirit. So help us, O Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. A few very quick announcements as we draw to a close. DVK is taking a break again this Friday night, but our programme for young people, Deira Volga Youth, is happening. They're joining with many other youth groups across the diocese Friday night. More information available from myself or from Sarah, or you'll see all of that on our social media pages as well. Life groups continue each Wednesday night. So give me a shout if you want to know more about that or get the login details for it. You've probably already noticed or seen that our edition of our message and is available online, or if you need to let me know about that. Each Wednesday during Lent, our Bishop George, is doing a series of talks. That's live on the Facebook page of Connor Diocese at 7 p.m. I'd love it if we were able to join in with that. Hook in and see them. You obviously can watch them at any stage. Well, he's live at 7 p.m. each Wednesday evening. Lastly, but by no means least, our parish register for vestry persons is now open for revision. If you want to find out if your name is already on that and you're unsure, please contact me. If you know your name's not on it and you want to get signed up, you can download those forms from our resources section of our website and need to be returned by Monday the 8th of March, when the register will be revised by the current vestry. So, what does it do? Doesn't mean you're going to stand for election, doesn't mean you're going to be forced into a position within the life of our church, but it means that you can fully in the life of our parish and you can vote at our AGM and stand for election if you so desire. Please do consider that and let me know when I can get you the details that is necessary for that. We close today with the collect for this first Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet was without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we finish with some of those words that we used earlier from John chapter 16 and verse 33. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Please keep up to date on our social media site, on our webpage. If you need anything during the week, you can email at darvogie.com or phone 028 925 2842. All of that information is online as well. But please stay safe and stay connected. Thank you.